everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football presented by BKCW. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. 85 days away to kickoff, getting closer and closer. But guys, tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking, get your questions in. We'll get to those here in just a little bit. But first, let's talk a little recruiting. What we've opened with all week, so we might as well finish the week with it. It's official visit weekend, a lot going on the 40 acres. Jerry, what's the latest?
Well, I see people checking in from Deer Park, Fred, Texas. Hey, Blake's going to be in Nevada, Texas. Anybody checking in from Nevada, Texas, let us know today. The other thing, by the way, is for the chat today, tell us who your favorite Texas Longhorn that wore 85 was. I'm interested to see the answers on number 85, Texas Longhorn, 85 days away. Jack Lala is checking in. William and Belton, thank you very much, guys, as always. Yeah, it's official visit weekend. It's here. Now, the official visits nationally began in earnest last weekend, right? DeCorian Moore, all those guys, a lot of top Texas targets were out and about around the country last weekend. But Texas begins the official visit 3 weekends in a row. This weekend, 6 official visitors scheduled to be on campus. Those are Myron Charles, defensive tackle, 4-star out of Port Charlotte, who was at Florida last weekend. We have Javian Hilson, the edge prospect, the 4-star Florida State commitment edge prospect out of Cocoa High, Cocoa Beach, Florida there. I believe he was also at Florida last weekend. He's got Texas this weekend, UCF, then Florida State. You have Josiah Sharma, 4-star defensive lineman out of Folsom, California. He's visited Washington officially, where he's formerly committed. He's at Texas this weekend, Oregon next week, and we've been talking about that. He was going to add the Oregon visit. And then Alabama, June 21st through 23rd. Looks like a Texas-Bama contest right now. I don't want to rule out Oregon, but it really feels like Texas-Bama right now. Kalen DeBoer has got him on campus 3 times since he made the move from Washington to Alabama. Sharma had a great visit to Texas in March with family members. So big weekend there. Caleb Edwards, 4-star tight end out of El Dorado Hills, California, Oak Ridge High there. He'll be at Texas this weekend, go to Auburn for a midweek, then Alabama next weekend for official visit. And then he has Oregon. He's got it all. He's been to UCLA. Caleb Chester, corner out of Fort Bend Marshall. I went over to see him earlier this week. Atmosphere pressure just dropped and the wind started blowing 60 miles an hour at the end of their workout. It was crazy that morning in Houston. I guess that was Wednesday. But Caleb Chester will be at Texas this weekend, then A&M, then Arkansas. I think Texas slight favorite headed into the visits this weekend. Then you have Michael Terry, one of the guys people talk about a lot on this chat because he's a tantalizing athlete. He's a 4- or 5-star athlete out of San Antonio, Alamo Heights. 6'2.5", 6'2.25", 217, 218 pounds, ran 10.8 and 100 meters. Nebraska very much in it. Texas visit this week, and then A&M. That one's really, I think, going to come down to the conversations that Michael Terry has. Texas and Texas A&M are saying athlete. He wants to play wide receiver. I don't think that's his long-term position. It's a tight end, Amari Niblack-ish, because he's going to move like a wide receiver as a tight end. Or to edge outside linebacker. But the interesting thing with Michael Terry is when you're locked in on being an offensive player, those guys don't normally translate to defensive players. We saw that with Jatavion Sanders. He was a locked-in offensive player, and that's what he wanted to be. So those conversations with Michael Terry will be big for Texas this weekend and obviously A&M next weekend. But it's a strong official visitors list month coming up for the Texas Longhorns. Kind of getting their feet wet this weekend. And then the next 2 weekends, I believe there's 37, 38 official visitors combined. But on Texas football, we've already got our weekend live thread up. CJ and I'll have you covered this weekend. So Steve Sarkisian, the staff getting it going. Big weekend for Kenny Baker, Johnny Nansen, and Steve Sarkisian this weekend on the recruiting front, in my estimation.
Hey, Jerry, I got to say this. We added an intern, too, is going to be out there helping you, too. John Burroughs, whose dad was a professor at the University of Texas for 25-plus years. Y'all, if anybody went to Texas, might have had it, one of his classes. John, a young student, will be out there helping Jerry and CJ as well. Hey, Jerry, I was going to ask you, because somebody mentioned it on the message board this morning. Right now, of that group of 6, Texas ostensibly only leads for one.
Right.
Is really a 50-plus percent guy, and that's Caleb Chester out of Fort Bend Marshall, who you went by and saw this weekend. You mentioned him. But what about the two defensive linemen? Because I'm really paying attention to Josiah Sharma and Myron Charles because of a need standpoint, a yeah. priority standpoint. And then also because, look, this is going to be one. We know those are going to be hotly contested. Then they're not layups. I'll just put it that way. No. And aren't those very, very important visits in your mind from a recruiting mindset situation? I mean, because those are guys that Texas is with only one real scholarship offer out in state with Zion Williams at Lufkin. Okay. Yeah. Everybody else that they're recruiting at defensive line heavily, at least right now, are from out of state. And so is this an early tell whether or not Texas can potentially domino on one of these out-of-state defensive linemen?
Yeah, for me, that you know, look, I've been saying there's five guys who I think are in a different tier for Texas, and that is Brandon Brown, obviously committed, and then there's Kevin Wynn out of Greensboro, Georgia. Both those guys are in next weekend. And then you have Josiah Sharma, you have Myron Charles, you have Zion Williams, a really good over-the-ball body frame, over-the-ball player. I think those five are kind of a cut above. They got to find a way to win two. Obviously, people would love to win three, but you got to find a way. But, Bobby, just what you talked about, Josiah Sharma, your three schools are Alabama, Texas, Oregon. Myron Charles was at Florida last weekend, Florida State lean probably, Texas, Miami, Florida. Kevin Wynn was at Georgia last weekend, and Georgia's pushing hard. We talked about it. I talked to Kevin Wynn this week. Georgia's now pushing harder because the Texas visit. The kid's 40 miles from Athens, and, you know, Kirby can stomach losing the guy to Florida State. But when Texas gets involved there, we saw it with Daniel Calhoun on the big guys, the offensive and defensive linemen in that Atlanta area, in that Athens area, that gets a little different. Reaction from Georgia right now. So that's a Georgia, FSU, South Carolina is where Wynn is this weekend. These are all national battles. Zion Williams and Brandon Brown, that's going to be Texas, LSU. Unless A&M makes a huge move with Zion Williams, Tennessee makes a huge move, or Miami late with Brandon Brown. So, I mean, you just talk, these are the battles you want to be in. Now you got to close out a couple of them. And that's going to be the key. I had a question here that I wanted to answer real quick that I thought was a good one. Okay. Marcus, thanks for this question. Any thoughts on Marcus Harris announcing he's focused on Georgia, Oregon, UCLA? Yeah, so look, he was a guy. This is where kind of the evaluation can kind of change. Marcus Harris, and this is kind of why I've always said, you know, the picks, all this stuff in recruiting's fun. I've been a part of it for 20 years. Marcus Harris had a lot of picks to Texas a few months ago. Now he's not a priority for Texas. I mean, that's just how things are changing. Because Texas has DeCorian Moore, Jamie French, Kalik Lockett, Kelshawn Johnson. Those are your four. Those are your top four guys. We've been saying this for a while. If you actually understand the players Sarkisian recruits, people would know this. These are the four guys at wide receiver. Look at what Sark recruits. I think Kelshawn Johnson's been underestimated now. There, Kelshawn Johnson visiting A&M this weekend. They're going to try to make a big run before his Texas visit this weekend. So recruiting's full speed, full steam ahead now. Big weekends for the staff. By the way, they have a specialist camp for those who love kickers and punters, me and Bert Auburn. A specialist camp this weekend on Saturday. And I've had confirmations in the last 24 hours from three of the top kickers, kicker punters in the country that they're going to be there. So Jeff Banks will prop could throw out a offer in the 26 class at kicker or punter, probably kicker. I don't know about punter, but the turnout for the specialist camp is going to be high end. And I know that's not the most popular thing to talk about, but how many games can it win? How much can you flip a field in the punting the football? I mean, it wins and loses games.
And Auburn's gone next year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's likely gone, so they're going to need one. Hey, also, you talked about other camps. They had a camp last night.
Yeah.
For 2027s, and a wide receiver out of St. John Bosco, same high school as DeAndre Moore, so it's out in California, Isala Aisa Wili Ava is his name. Wide receiver, 6'2", 190 pounds, was offered by Texas. Two things come to mind there. California, getting a California guy to camp 2 years early. That is impressive. Second, I think that Texas is going for more Pacific Islanders with Johnny Manson now on staff. Yeah. I really, really believe that. They had success with Leonga Lafaut, Satili Akana. I just think that now they got Tia Savea as well, Jermaine Lole. I think Johnny Nansen's got an influence in that community that may play a role here for the Longhorns overall in recruiting, Jerry. You agree with that to a degree?
Yeah, no, 100%. He may as well be a pilot for an airline from Southern California and Hawaii in the future, because by the way, Cody, nice job announcing. That was a good job. I need to let Bobby, he needs to be the guy that says the names, and I'll just go about my way talking about some of these guys, because he's much better at that than I am. I'm a hatchet job. But yeah, I think Johnny Nansen is awesome in California. It's two decades plus of relationships with high school coaches, people, circles, you know, whether that be 7-on-7-on-7 world, right? Some of the influential people it could be a quarterback trainer, it could be whatever. Not that Sark doesn't have those with all the quarterback trainers, but you know, when you've recruited a state in an area that long, you're going to have great connections. I mean, two decades, that's a long time to recruit a state in an area. And that's why you see, you know, you saw Johnny Nansen in Las Vegas too in May. If there's players that Texas deems good enough out of Las Vegas, Johnny Nansen's going to try to get those guys on campus. And I think you're going to see more guys on campus earlier, Bobby, earlier in age, like we saw with that and that offer last night. But I look, 9 official visitors from the state of California. That's a big number for Texas. And all that tells me is it's going to 10, it's going to 11 in the future.
Yeah, they're going to make that a priority. Too many contacts out that way. But what's interesting is they're not only using that, they're also going into the deep south now with the SEC tie as well. All right, need to say thank you to our sponsor this morning. Today's Coffee and Football being brought to you by BKCW Insurance. Did your business have a frustrating insurance or employee benefits renewal? Most likely you didn't hear from your agent all year, and then right before it was time to renew, your agent delivered the bad news of a rate increase with no time to look for other options. That's happened to me. When this happens, the agent is providing little to no value, and you're stuck in what we call the insurance trap. BKCW aims to take you out of the insurance trap by providing you with actual risk management consulting, not just price quoting. Operating out of its headquarters in Austin and owned by UT grads, BKCW uses a 5-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, and monitor your situation throughout the year so that you can lower your insurance costs and effectively manage your company's risks and employee benefits. BKCW has risk consultants that specialize in many different industries, from construction and transportation to nonprofits, even school districts. So you'll get matched up with someone who knows your risks and can help you escape the insurance trap. Get started with a free risk assessment at bkcw.com. Send an email to info@bkcw.com to get started and get the support you deserve. Guys, the Longhorns lost the women's softball matchup last night to Oklahoma. But I got to say, congratulations to the women and head coach Mike White on a tremendous year. The Sooners bats, just too much for the Longhorns. Also, Jerry, you called it the left-handed pitching. Got to the Longhorns a little bit. I mean, what did you think of that? What did y'all think of that series, two-game series? I missed most of the game last night because we had you and I both did, because of the trivia game show we had hosted here on Texas Football.
Or the Coach Shipley Comedy Hour,
he was terrific, wasn't he? I mean, yeah. It was fun.
So my thoughts on the softball are, look, he's going to get over the hump. He's going to win a national championship at Texas. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's going to happen. The program's continuing to ascend. Look, it's tough to get over that mountaintop when it's a dynasty you have to beat. I mean, the reality is you have to tip your cap and say, man, that is one great team or one great program. And Oklahoma softball is that. in what they do in women's softball. They're as good as there is in college sports. I mean, no other way to put it. So it just so happens that the task at hand for Mike White in Texas is unseating a dynasty of an arch rival. And that is that can be a big steep climb at level Oklahoma is, but once Texas gets there, it's going to make it even sweeter.
Hey, I got to say this about the trivia game last night too, as well. I got to say that I won.
Yes, you did. I should have come in with
the congrats. The other thing I would say is Coach Shipley, he's a dirty old man at times, dirty old man.
I love it.
I don't know about him. And thank you also to Colin A-Strike, who is an OTF OG that participated as one of the one of the contestants in the trivia game as well. We really appreciate him. He lives over in Atlanta. Hey, by the way, I was going to say this, Jerry and Blake. I heard this. Huh. I think it's Nevada, Texas that Blake is going to.
Okay.
Not Nevada.
I'm going to have to remember that.
Pretty sure. Mark, you got to bring the answer on Monday.
Yeah, I will. Yes, please go to a gas station and ask, how do you pronounce this town's name? But I believe it's Nevada, not Nevada.
Hey, I never even heard of it until I was told we were going there a few days ago. So, well, hey, we got a special guest today, Jerry, and I'm going to let you make the introduction here while I bring her in.
Yeah, Allie Peek, she does a great job YouTube covering the Florida Gators. She's a friend of one of my longtime friends and colleagues in the business, Keith Niebuhr. So, Allie, it's great to have you on. We want to talk a little bit about Florida Gators, SEC. How about the Texas Longhorns and Oklahoma invading the SEC a little bit? So thanks, Allie, for joining us today.
You are so welcome. I'm excited. And honestly, guys, I am kind of excited that Texas and Oklahoma are joining the SEC. I have heard wonderful things about Austin, and I've never been there. So it is on my list to get out there this season.
Well, I got to say, visiting Austin will be better than visiting Norman. Let's just you just added Starkville to your list on that one. So, but great. Thanks, Allie. Jerry and I have seen some of your work on YouTube. Congratulations on getting that off the ground and getting it rolling. It's really good stuff. As a Texas fan on the outside looking in, I wanted to ask you about the Jaden Rashada situation and head coach Billy Napier and where that is right now down at the media days in the SEC last week or week before last. A lot of talk about exactly what's going on with those two things. Florida saying we're comfortable with where we're at. Obviously, Rashada and his attorney aren't.
Sure.
What's the latest on the quarterback recruiting NIL drama?
So, I was really interested and surprised to hear Billy Napier say that he was comfortable with his actions publicly, not because I was concerned that he wasn't comfortable with them, but because he usually says very little. You will find with Napier, as the season goes on, he's just not a talker. He is not a Steve Spurrier. He's not a Lane Kiffin. Like you get very few words from Billy Napier. So the fact that he said that was kind of an interesting, a little boost of confidence, I think, to Gator fans. The Rashada situation as a whole is interesting. I do think it's a money grab, but at this point, that doesn't mean that he doesn't feel that he was harmed, because I think that he does feel that way. But I can't imagine that they would actually win. I think they're just pretty convinced that the things that could come out from universities and discovery, that they're more than likely to get a settlement before it ever makes its way to court. And I do, while I also think it's interesting, the universities not being sued, the actual collective that the contract originally was with is not being sued. So it is a loan booster, and it is Coach Napier personally. And what he's essentially saying is that the two of them made verbal agreements on behalf of that collective and on behalf of the university, but they never intended to pay him. And that the fraud part of it is going to be really hard to prove too, because Coach Napier wanted Jaden Rashada. There is no benefit to him for Jaden Rashada to never actually wear orange and blue. I mean, this is not a generational talent that we then kept away from our rivals, and at least we get a win for a year because we're not playing against him. Like, it's not like that at all. Billy Napier wanted him to be in orange and blue. So I think that aspect of it would be incredibly difficult to prove from their end. But like I said, my assumption is they settle, because all universities probably have things in emails and text messages that they don't necessarily want coming to light in discovery.
All right, Allie, so for those that are Texas fans, they're getting familiar with you now. They'll head on over to search out your YouTube after this. But talk about your background with the University of Florida. Kind of unique. Obviously, I don't know if you – hey, your husband could kick a football. So talk about your background with Florida.
He can. I have a really long history with the University of Florida. My grandfather played football for the Gators in the 50s. My dad played football for the Gators in the 70s. My husband and my brother played in the 2000s. I graduated from the University of Florida with a telecommunications news degree, which is what UF calls their broadcasting degree, essentially. And I did drive time radio for a long time before having kids. I did TV. I wrote for Rivals and, you know, several different sites and things like that. So been covering the Gators for a very long time, been covering high school football for a very long time, and it is most definitely in my blood.
So it's pretty cool. You have a national championship ring or two in the house.
The funny thing is that it's not actually uncommon in my family, which my husband always laughs. He's like, of course, I would marry into the one family where this isn't that exciting. But, you know, my husband won in 2006, my brother won in 2008, and my cousin played for Alabama and they won in 2009. Oh, so wow. We actually have three sets and we, you know, argue back and forth about it. My cousin's team beat my brother's team in the SEC championship game.
And then beat Texas.
Yes. Yeah. And the funny story about that game is my husband had a cousin that was over in Afghanistan. And when he was able to come back like 2 days before the national championship game in 06. So he flew directly to Arizona and he gave Eric this coin that says Go Gators in Arabic on it. So Eric wore it in his hip pad during the national championship game. So he gave it to my brother in 2008, who wore it in his hip pad for that national championship game. We FedExed it to Pasadena in 2009. And my cousin actually wore a Go Gators coin in his Alabama pants when they won the national championship game against you guys.
I tell you what, I wish you wouldn't have. I'll just put it that way. Hopefully his name wasn't Marcel Darius. We'd have problems on this show. Now, in all seriousness, thanks for joining us, Allie. The question about Texas joining the SEC, Oklahoma as well, joining Florida, a somewhat like-minded institution as Texas in that they're both big state universities with big populations. Georgia's kind of similar. What do you make of Texas coming into the SEC overall? Because, you read the Aggie boards and nobody wanted Texas in the SEC. They just kind of barged in. Is that what's your take as a Florida Gator, et cetera, reporter, and whether or not Texas and OU coming to the SEC is going to be a benefit to the conference or a drag on it?
Well, you know, now that we have expanded the playoffs, I think it's a benefit, right? I think the more tough teams in the conference, the more conference teams are going to get into the playoffs. Texas is hard. This is not the same as adding, you know, a Virginia or a North Carolina or something like that to our conference. We're adding another team that is a powerhouse, and not just a powerhouse in football, a powerhouse across the board in athletics, which, you know, again, is a benefit for the conference. I do think we'll see out of conference schedules adjust in the future because of it, because our schedule's so hard as it is. You know, anybody in the SEC, if you look at the top 10 schedules this year, I was looking at it earlier, I'm pretty sure 7 of the top 10 come from the SEC. And that's because we're going to beat up on each other all year long. I am interested to see how Texas and Oklahoma do. You know, I'm sure you've heard the it just means more, and I'm sure you've heard that there's nothing like the SEC, and you guys might be rolling your eyes at that. But like, it is wild to play what we consider a rivalry game almost every single week. There is never a week where you can just not get up and you win in conference. And that's going to be, at least from the outside perspective, a different experience for Texas and Oklahoma. Every single week you have a target on your back. Every single game is tough. And, you know, I know come bowl season, everybody's like, oh, well, this 7-5 team shouldn't be getting in, or this 6-6, they got way better a bowl game than they deserve. It's because that 6-6 team would beat the pants off of your 8-4 team, you know, head to head. The conference is just wired differently. And I'm really excited for you guys to experience that. I am not a massive fan of conference expansion on the whole. I don't like ruining some of the traditions that exist. And I think if college football looks too different than what we all fell in love with, it's a problem for the sport. But if we're going to expand, let's add the best. And I think that that's what we did.
I would add this. It's interesting. Texas fans are accustomed to having a target on their back at all times.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there was a poll done, I guess it was 4 or 5 years ago by Sports Illustrated. Texas was the number one rival of like 8 different schools.
Yeah.
When Texas really only has 2 major rivals currently. And one of them they haven't played in 13 years. And that's A&M that renews this year. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you mentioned that Texas was getting everybody's best shot in the Big 12 because it would potentially make their year by beating Texas, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to the Gators a little bit because Billy Napier is a hot topic, Allie, in college football right now because of not only the Jaden Rashada situation, but a lot of people think he may not be the head coach in October when Florida comes calling to Texas. You guys start with UCF, Miami, and UCF and Miami. Then you've got some other games coming up. And A&M. Mm-hmm. I mean, is this the year that Billy Napier has to put up or shut up kind of?
Yes and no. So I think the final record is going to matter less than how Florida gets there. Last year, there were multiple games. Arkansas and Missouri are two you can point to that Florida should have won. That game, those games were in the bag, if not for really inept play by the Gators. Bad coaching decisions, confusion on the sidelines. And I think if Florida had won 2 more games, we maybe wouldn't be sitting here having these kind of conversations that we are. So, you know, I don't know that it's such a huge deal for them to lose a game against a team that heads up is just better than them. But I think it is a huge problem to continue to lose games that you have won, but you give away, or that you have more talent than, and you get out coached. I think Florida needs to start probably about 5-1 in their first 6 games, because the back half of the schedule
brutal
is murderer's row. It just,
I mean, November's as tough as you'll ever see for a schedule.
Florida may not win a game. I mean, they may not win a game the second half of the season, but that's why they have to win at the beginning of the season. I think Billy Napier has to be bowl eligible, and I think he has to be 5-1-ish, maybe 4-2, but even that's going to be pushing it the first half of the season. And honestly, if I'm Scott Strickland, UF's athletic director, if he goes 5-1, I consider giving him a 2-year contract extension. Because think about the negative recruiting that's going to go on all next season, right?
Allie, how big is the Miami game for the Florida fan base?
You know, I think it depends on age, because there are so many Gator fans who have played Miami once in their lifetime. And so it doesn't carry the same amount of weight for them. I know my dad's generation, this is a big deal. They love playing Miami every single year and they want to beat them. I think for Coach Napier, it's almost a bellwether game because you're looking at Mario Cristobal, who is sitting in almost an identical situation that Coach Napier is, right? Going into year 3, supposed to be this amazing recruiter. Everybody expected kind of more than they have right this moment. And so, you know, I think the winner of this game has a huge advantage, not only in the state recruiting wise, but just in job security. And for Mario Cristobal, if he wins from there on out, the rest of that schedule outside of Florida State is much easier than the road that Coach Napier has to take, right? So, you know, that is a huge game. Can he get them up? The stadium will never be more hyped than it will be week 1, right? Because the new season promises, everybody's so excited. We're going to be better. It goes downhill from there if you lose that game. It's big, guys. There is definitely a big red circle on that game in Florida's locker room.
Let me ask you this, Allie, before we let you go. Strengths of the Florida football team when they come to Austin, and the weaknesses of the Florida football team, in your opinion?
So I think quarterback is a major position of strength for Florida, which I think if we were sitting here talking last June, you guys probably would have laughed at me if I had said that, because Graham Mertz was coming from Wisconsin and everybody thought that was a terrible pickup. He wouldn't do anything. He really has become such a leader for this team. He knows the system incredibly well. He is patient. He is calm. He understands the fan base. He's got a couple targets that are, you know, really talented. So I think that quarterback, and then DJ Lagway is backing him up. And you guys are familiar with that because he's from the state of Texas. I hope we don't see him a whole lot this year. I think it would be great to bring him across slowly. And that means that Mertz is being successful. But quarterback is a huge position of strength. And, you know, I think that Florida's defense should be much improved. They got Ron Roberts, who is a defensive coordinator at Auburn. He has really kind of injected life into this defense. And he was our defensive coordinator's mentor. And I think that's important because Florida's defense was garbage last year. They just really, really struggled. They've got a lot of young talent. They've recruited these guys in, but now you got to coach them up, right? It's totally different to play ball in the SEC than it is to play high school. And Florida's defense has to take some massive steps forward if they're going to win many games at all this year.
Good stuff. Allie, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you in Austin potentially. If you're coming in, make sure you stop by and keep in touch, and we'll have you. Well, hopefully we can have you back on during game week as well.
Absolutely. And I want to have you guys on my show for sure.
All right.
Yeah, tell everybody good. Where they can find you on YouTube, Allie. Yeah.
A Peek Inside Gators Football on YouTube. And then on Twitter, it's Allie_Peek.
Thank you very much, Allie. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Take care. Hook them, Allie. I had to get that in at the very end there, Jerry.
Yeah. So just thank you very much to Allie for joining. We're going to have people on that cover the opponents of Texas. I mean, that's part of our job here is to, bring on people that cover the future opponents of the Texas Longhorns and get their thoughts on their team that they cover, the SEC, the move to the SEC for Texas and Oklahoma, and then kind of built for the future. So thank you to Allie for coming on today, guys. And we're going to get back to the Texas Longhorns, talk for some recruiting coming up. But first, I got to tell people.
Do it.
I mean, look, Father's Day's it's here, guys. You know what that means? Are you struggling to find the perfect gift for the man that has everything? The solution is very simple. Give him the unforgettable experience of Omaha Steaks, because a world-class dad deserves a world-class steak. The Father's Day experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to put a smile on the big guy's face with hand-selected gift packages starting at just $99 when you use promo code ONTEXAS, all caps, at checkout. You'll get $10 off that order. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless. Endless flavor. Blake Monroe says, check, check. Endless variety. I say, check, check. Endless value. How many checks do you want to give them? Truly, they have perfected more than steak, and your dad is guaranteed to love every bite. Pick from a premium proteins like juicy pork chops, air-grilled chicken, and beefy burgers. The burgers are awesome. Time is running out. Don't wait until the last minute. Go to omahasteaks.com and order today with packages starting at $99. Don't forget, when you use promo code ONTEXAS, all caps, at checkout, you'll get $10 off. Shop for unforgettable gifts that are guaranteed to make Dad's Day. Because if there's one thing Omaha Steak knows, it's dads want steak, guys.
That's right. I got to say this. If quarterback is their strength, I don't know, man. I'm just going to, no way they start season 5-1.
Let's look at it.
Yeah, they're going to beat Stanford. Okay. A&M, if they think they're going to beat A&M, I would kind of doubt that. They'll beat Mississippi State. UCF is going to be hard. They think they're going to beat Tennessee? Really?
Well, to that point, for Billy Napier, his job security, they're
going
to
see them at best 3-2, though.
They're going to have to find a way to go 4-2 in those first six games if he's going to survive, because just look at the last half of the schedule.
I'd like to know what that way is.
Here's what I think. I think the Miami game is massive for them. and Miami, by the way.
Yeah, it's been to Miami too.
Napier needs to win that game to help job security. Cristobal needs to win that game to tell the fan base of all 6,000 that show up at home games, hey, we're all headed in the right direction.
6,000 on Dude, a good day. David Keith Williams says the question that we should have asked. Would you ask this lady, how does the fan base feel about Florida losing both Xavier Fils-Aimé and Wardell Mack to Texas from their 2024 recruiting class? We should have asked her that. Just to be nice and polite. I had to come out firing and asking about Jaden Rashada because I tell you what, you can kind of explain that away a little bit, and that's what it feels like Florida is trying to do. And I think Allie Peake's outstanding, by the way. Yeah. Jerry, really clearly articulate young woman and knowledgeable. The thing that I would say that is the missing of the point there, it's not just those two. There's also a third person that is being sued as well. That was an underling that acted as the go-between for both Napier and the booster. And he is also being sued. And my guess is that's where the university has some issues and some culpability. I do believe Napier is probably above, has no problems with his own personal issues, but I think some other things could come to light there. It's not just those two, the booster and Napier that are being sued. So I think they're hoping that that goes away through settlement and it doesn't come to the light of day because it is a poor look. It's a very, very poor look in my opinion.
Okay, guys. Well, let's get to first, we got a couple more things that we need to talk about pretty quickly here. Yesterday, the NCAA ruled that they can have sponsors now on the football field. I wanted to get y'all's quick thoughts on that.
Bobby, as long as it's Manscaped or Omaha Steaks or something like that. Hey,
what about on track football? On there.
What about y'all? What about OTF?
Yeah,
there we go. On Texas football now.
So Bobby, do you see that happening? Can you see a scenario where that happens at Texas?
I talked. The idea of it all started percolating a couple weeks ago, and I specifically asked Chris Del Conte about it. He said, "At Texas, we don't mess with the uniforms. Why would we mess with the field?"
Is that is that his way of bargaining?
That doesn't mean in 10 years we don't look up and Tito's is given, $20 million.
Right.
You know, that there's a difference. But my point is there's no immediate plans for the University of Texas to litter its field with anything other than Longhorn official stuff. Now, there is a Nike swoosh on the jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there's that. Beyond that, Texas has been fairly, an OTF logo on the helmet. I wouldn't want to see. I wouldn't even want that. Like, I want Texas to be Texas. I like the purity, the pure nature of it. My point on all of this is a lot of people, national writers in media, see this as a money grab to make up for the 22% in lost revenue. And in some ways, they're right. They're going to have to reach out and do things like this where they can go out and attract some major sponsors and get them on the field of play so that they can do that. My worry and my concern, Jerry, about it is that teams are going to end up looking like, NBA uniforms at times and, soccer teams where it's not about the team on the chest. It's, bet I win or whatever the name of the company is. And so that's why I have an issue. And I don't think Chris Del Conte wants to go that direction. And I certainly, after speaking with him and asking him about it directly, it's not in the near-term plan for the University of Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say this. If we walk away from Texas, I think you're going to see a lot of the middle of road programs that need to make up that deficit more so. I think we're going to start to see a lot of advertising on fields is my bet. Wouldn't you agree with that, Bobby? I mean, look, if you're a Iowa State, don't you have to?
you're going to have to keep up with the Joneses if you can get that amount of money from right. a advertiser. Look, go pull Jerry's picture up here and make it large there instead of me while I talk here. Look at Jerry's background right now. All of those things around the edges are already on the field. That blue, and I'm talking about behind the benches. There's a couple of Texas, most of them are all university related, but then there's these sponsorships. There's also sponsors on that big jumbo screen behind you, Jumbotron behind you, Jerry. It's already there. Putting it on the field is a different level.
That's a different level because the reality
is then it's in the broadcast is the issue.
Yes.
One other thing, guys, that we wanted to touch on before we get to some questions and before I have to leave here in just a second. Bobby, today, I believe it was, or late last night, you posted an article on Texas Football about ranking players. Pretty insightful stuff. But I wanted you to, talk about that a little bit. And for the folks that haven't read it, give them the rundown.
Yeah, absolutely. It's on Texas Football. It's not a huge article or anything. Jerry and I, big recruiting weekend coming up for Texas. Next 3 weeks, 40-plus kids coming in to see the University of Texas. Hopefully Texas gets some commitments out of those players because we think they've done a great job of evaluating and bringing the right guys in, et cetera. But, Jerry, the article that I wrote was talking about – I saw some people write about, new rankings from On3 and 24/7 and Rivals, et cetera. And I started doing that a long time ago. You've done it for 20 plus years as well. And there are certain things that are happening right now in the recruiting ranking industry that I think are just kind of out there a little bit. Like they're overcorrecting for some things. And so I try to write a little bit of a treatise of sorts about things that I see and have thought about as it relates to ranking players. And there are certain things where that you just can't improve upon greatly. Like right. a guy that there's not many guys that are going to get appreciably faster in college. So if you're fast in high school, you run a 10.6, you're going to be fast.
Yeah.
You're not going to go from an 11.2 to a 10.6. It just ain't happening. Okay. Yeah. Your quickness is you can work on it as much as you want and you may improve a little bit, but you're not going to improve a ton. Okay, you're either quick or you're not, right? Now, you can, as you get older, you can get, bolster that. You either have size and length or you don't. You either have an initial pop off the line of scrimmage as an offensive or defensive lineman, or you don't. You don't necessarily learn those things once you get to campus. And basically, it was this idea that a lot of people say, well, he'll learn this or he'll get there. I don't necessarily agree with that. That was point one. Okay. The second piece that I had for you, Jerry, is how much production matters in high school and whether or not that can be what I think that's sometimes underrated and sometimes overrated. And I don't know that there's a I don't know that there's ever a straight way to say it is always underrated or it is always underrated. You have to discern which is which based on that player, right?
Yeah.
I come back to a guy like Jake Smith from state of Arizona, balled out in the state of Arizona, national Gatorade player of the year, comes to Texas, does okay, but then gets injured and then really is never heard from again, right? He was good, but he wasn't great. But everybody wanted to make him great before he got to campus, right? So his stats and production did not carry over to the University of Texas. And so you have to find a meld between all of those things. And I think that we've gone in recruiting rankings to this point. Well, let's just figure that out and calculate that in into the ranking. I just don't think that's as easily said as done.
Yeah, I think one of the issues in recruiting now for me is because the process with the college coaches really it's so early, right? When the offering began of kids in eighth grade, it's just a select few. But this process began so much earlier for kids, then the rankings process begins earlier, right? And then you, one of the things is you put yourself, you box yourself in recruiting rankings, because you start ranking players early, Bobby. And once you, if you start ranking these guys too early, and I get why it's done, I get it. I've been part of the business. But if you start ranking these prospects nationally, rankings at an early age, man, there is, these kids don't develop at the same rate, not even close. So your skill guys are always ahead of your OLs and DLs. Offensive linemen are the latest developing physically in my years doing this. Offensive and defensive line, your interior guys. There's a bigger bodies. They develop later. Sometimes they hit the late growth spurt. Sometimes they hit the early growth spurt, and they got to grow into that body. So there's so many the recruiting process getting so early really changed the game in our industry, and I think it causes for some overcorrections. Not exactly what you're talking about, but boxing yourself in recruiting rankings is a scary thing. But Bobby, to your point, yeah, I mean, look. If a guy, when I go to Hitchcock and I watch Kelshon Johnson in a 7-on-7 and he runs 10-6, he can get to a 10-3. If he was an 11-1 guy, he's not going to be a 10-6 guy, to your point, right? I mean, fast is fast. I jokingly say, whether it's Rod Babers or some other guys I've seen, they could roll out of bed and run 4-4. They could when they were younger. And one of the things too is body quickness. You naturally, we just lost Bobby. That was a lot of body quickness there. But your body quickness, that's one of the things I look at with offensive tackles. I mean, that is so huge when you're going up to the Power 5 level in the edge rushers. Just say you're recruiting guy at Texas. What are they going to face in the SEC with those edge rushers? Body quickness. Reactive quickness as an athlete is huge. Reactive quickness, people call it pocket presence and with a quarterback, and it is, but the reactive quickness with your feet to what you see in your peripheral, those are not talked about enough for me that are so important from a movement standpoint, is that body quickness, that reactive quickness, because guys are just getting bigger, stronger, and faster across the board in sports, period. Bigger, stronger, faster. And that ability for you to react immediately with quickness, your body and your feet. If you're a quarterback, just think about this, Bobby. One of the things with quarterbacks, it doesn't matter what you see with your eyes. If you don't react quick enough with your feet, you're not going to be accurate. I mean, it's the reactiveness is so big in sports. And it's why I always start looking at the feet and work up from there with athletes, period.
I think that's a good terminology. I also think it's not all about speed and quickness. Some guys have innate abilities. One guy says, there was a running back that never ran 4.5 named Emmitt Smith that's in the Hall of Fame. There's a wide receiver named Jerry Rice that never ran 4.4. Okay. That's my point.
Emmitt was quick and reactive Hall of Fame level.
Jerry Rice remains the best route runner I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are issues there where being a football player outweighs the other pieces. But then, I mean, look, Larry Fitzgerald never ran a 4.4.
Yeah.
I mean, Hall of Fame, right? And so I feel like people mistake and try to go all in on one thing or the other, as opposed to looking for the best football players possible as well.
By the way, I want to say something real quick.
I got to get out of here, guys. Okay. Jerry, I'm going to let you make your point.
Colts got to go hit home runs. All right, Blake, have a great weekend.
Nevada.
Nevada, Texas. All right, so, hey, Emmitt Smith is one of the guys I love to talk about, how recruiting has changed. It's been great things in recruiting, right? I think this is a fun discussion. Huddle and YouTube ruined Virginia Tech football for Frank Beamer. By the way, that's a different discussion. But Bobby, let's think back to Emmitt Smith. I don't care the stats he was putting up at Escambia High. If he had gone to a Nike camp before his senior year of high school and was 5'9", 179, and ran 4.7, would he have been a Florida Gator today? That's the tough thing in recruiting now, is the greatest player. Some of the, to that point, the instincts, that body quickness, that reactive quickness, those things those guys had. Man, would Emmett Smith have been that level recruit coming out of high school, or would he have been overlooked? Because, you know, here you go up on the websites and here are their measurables, 5'9", 5'8½", 179, 4'7". What would that have done to his rankings and his recruiting? And he's one of the top three running backs ever.
Well, a guy that was one of the predecessors or the grandfathers of recruiting is a guy named Max Emfinger, out of that I actually worked for one summer. And interestingly, he is famous for saying that Emmett Smith would be a big bust, and he never lived it down.
Yeah.
And to your point, I agree. I agree with that. I mean, I think that that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If you go too far, I think that there are going to be people that have egg on their face by not putting Arch Manning number one overall. I mean, there are just things that you don't bet against a Manning, for example. Yeah. I mean, that's my piece on it. All right. Hey, Jerry, let's take some questions. We got several things going on right now. We got a couple of super chats that we need to get to. Longhorn Frenzy says, great interview with Allie Peak from the Florida Gators. One of the many reasons OTF is the best in the business. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Longhorn Frenzy, for the super chat as well. From Juan, Bobby, I asked this question a couple of days ago. I want your thoughts. Sark is building this offense similarly to his USC days in 04, 05. I definitely think that he's trying to in some ways. He's got a great front offensive line. I think he's got a great quarterback, and he has a look forward at quarterback as well. The one thing I would say, he's recruiting a different style of receiver now than he did back then.
That's what Rod and I talked about on this question, Bobby.
Yeah. He's not recruiting Mike Williams.
Not that size.
Dwayne Jarrett. He's recruiting quickness and speed, outright speed over size at receiver.
Yeah,
that would be the difference, Juan. But all said and done, he's also recruiting each of these guys are elite, which is what he did at USC.
Yeah. Hey, Bobby, that was the point Rod and I made when that question came up. Thank you very much for super chat. And that's how football's changed, too. You're not going to see three big wide receivers on the field at the same time at the college level. You're going to see quickness. You're going to see speed. You're going to see explosive ability. So I totally agree. Rod and I, Bobby, we're on the same page on that. That was a great question, by the way.
All right. Richard Stark has a good one, too, I think. This is really fair. Jerry, when you say a school is, quote, making a push or, quote, turning up the heat pressure in recruiting, what does that mean to you?
Okay, so making a push means, okay, say you have seven defensive linemen on your board, seven guys at the top tier one, let's call it. And maybe that seventh guy, after you go see him in the spring, you're like, I kind of like where he's headed. And maybe you start to make a more of a push for that guy. That push could be getting him on campus for an official visit. That push could be when he comes on campus to make sure he knows he's a guy we want in this class versus maybe just keeping him warm, as we kind of call it, recruiting to see what happens with two or three of those top guys. Then there's also the NIL push, making a push. How bad, you know, what's happening outside of that football part of the recruitment? Turning up the heat, turning up the pressure is, for me, is these guys that are these, when these staffs take a kid from, we really like this guy, all right, we're bringing this guy in for an official visit, or even before the official visit process, we need to get this guy committed. We need to start playing the numbers game a little bit and letting him know that, look, we want you here, but we got 10 other guys that want to visit at your spot. I mean, that's a little bit of it. For like a Kevin Wynn, let's bring up Kevin Wynn because we're going to be talking about this the whole month of June. The four-star defensive lineman from Greene County in Greensboro, Georgia. They're 40 minutes south of Athens. So Georgia, because they can recruit anybody they want, and it's unbelievably loaded defensive line in Georgia in that class. I mean, Georgia's not offering guys that are going to go to Clemson. That's how loaded this class is. Okay. So early on, they like Kevin Wynn, but maybe they had five, six other guys ahead of him they're recruiting. So maybe he's a tier one, but a lower tier one guy. Okay, well, if you think Florida State or South Carolina is going to win out for him, and you're Georgia, that's okay. You can live with Florida State. But when a Texas or an Alabama, one of those SEC big-time foes, comes in, puts the offer on the table, locks in an official visit, then it's amazing. And we kind of predicted this here. Georgia's now making a stronger push for Kevin Wynn. And that could be because they don't want a D lineman that they know's really good to go to a Texas or to an Alabama from their backyard.
Yeah, good stuff, Jerry. Hey, a quick thought here. Living rent-free, where is the DL from Tennessee on the board? He is second tier, right, at best at this point.
Yeah, I just don't think that's a guy that, Texas has made a strong push on what we were just talking about. Right, we'll perfect. See if that changes.
You know, it's good. That's why we use those terms. All right, aggressively optimistic Texas fan has a question for us. Is Texas basketball done with the portal for this current roster? Any updates on high school basketball recruiting? I will say this, Jerry. I was talking to Rodney Terry again at the SEC Media Day spring meetings, and he said that they are always on the lookout, not sure they're entirely done. Now, if Danny Hurley goes and takes the LA Lakers job, what does that do with all those players up at Connecticut? They obviously might become available quickly too.
Any
updates there?
Yeah. So here's the thing. Texas is still talking to two or three role player. What would be role player bigs? The hard thing in the portal is we talked about the juice worth the squeeze? Because boy, the juice is big on the guys left in the portal because they have all the leverage. And what type of role are some of these guys willing to play? I think the easiest thing is go get player, but there's different caveats to that. A kid may say, hey, I want to play 25 minutes a game. Well, you're not going to do that at that position at Texas with what they already have. So that's going to knock you out with some guys. Then what if somebody's asking from an NIL package for more than Trey Johnson? Well, that may not be a smart play by Texas. I mean, Trey Johnson's going to be a lottery pick. I mean, by the way, I put an article up on texasfootball.com yesterday for the basketball fans out there that aren't on OTF. Early returns on the team that's in Austin now. So I got some notes on that about the guys that are they're in Austin now. They've all reported working out with Corey Schlesinger. I think Texas has a fabulous strength and conditioning coach in basketball. I mean, fabulous. Best Texas has had since Todd Wright. He is really, really good, and he may be on that level one day because he already came from the NBA ranks where Todd Wright now is. But high school basketball recruiting, expect to see 2-3-man classes. Texas took the big from Austin that was at Oak Hill late to develop him. He was 6'8 and a quarter, 6'8 and a half. Now he's almost 6'10, Vinson. So they took a kid late that Rutgers, South Carolina, Kentucky, all brought in for official visits. He goes to Texas, and he's a developmental upside rim protector with long arms. I think you have to get some of those bigs in your program. I think the portal at guard, you got to have enough of that experience, man strength on the interior, obviously, some ruggedness, but you have to have developmental pieces. So I think 2-3-man high school classes. When John Calipari comes out and said the days of having 7 freshmen are over, you really know it's over because he tried it until he absolutely knew it wasn't going to work.
And 4 of them would be lottery.
Yes, and it still wasn't winning.
Hey, this is a question from Richard Walker, Super Chat. Thank you, Richard. People often call Sark and Kyle Shanahan similar, but there is actually a stark difference. Sark invests in the offensive line. Kyle doesn't outside of Trent. Here would be my take on that, Richard. There's an element of truth to that. But that's because college football talent acquisition is inherently unfair. I mean, you can sign 5 first-round draft picks in college football. You can't do that in the NFL. And so you have to choose where your wampum goes in the NFL, right? In college football, you don't have to. Not really. And so that's the difference. I agree with you. I'll put it that way. But part of that has to do with the nature of the two sports. NFL is decidedly different than college football. Hey, this one from Nate Russ. For the $4.99 for the OTF hats, Coach Shipley is going to start selling the Shipley Ranches hat. I love it. whatever we sell, Jerry, we've talked about selling stuff here before. We want it to be a natural outgoing of whatever we're doing. We really do. And so whether that's a coffee mug, an OTF football shirt like you have on or what have you, we're going to do it. We're just trying to find the right time. We're juggling so many balls right now. It's hard. So many balls in the air. It's hard to get them figured out there.
Here's one for you, Bobby. I got one. Three underclassmen with the most approved during summer workouts. A little team talk. I love this. King Me always has great questions.
Most approved.
I mean, obviously, Sadir Mitchell is one fans are going to talk about.
That's a no-brainer.
No-brainer. Yeah,
point. Yeah.
No-brainer.
What about somebody like Jelani McDonald to me? I mean, and I say that because you and I both know the athleticism he has.
Yeah.
Right. And the question with Jelani has been from the very day he was recruited, what position does he play? Is he going to grow into a linebacker? Is he going to be a safety? Can it be a nickel, a big nickel? What is he?
Yeah.
They've decided on safety. Are you really one of the top four safeties on the team? Or are you still trying to figure out that you're a safety? So I think that is a question that is out there. The other underclassmen with the most approved during summer workouts.
So I look at – go ahead, Bobby.
Let me say mine, and then you go yours. I'm going to go DeAndre Moore.
Okay.
And you have Silas Bolden coming in now, right? You already had Jonte Cook that's ahead of you. You know you got Matthew Golden and Isaiah Bond. Ryan Wingo came on strong. You had a nice spring if you're DeAndre Moore. But he's one of those chips that you don't know which way it's going to fall on the pendulum. You really just don't know. And so I would add him to that list.
Yeah, I think those are good. By the way, I want to point something out. I was told yesterday the Texas quarterbacks really like Matthew Golden for what it's worth. Really like Matthew Golden. Really like DeAndre Moore from route running perspective to your point. I look at linebacker a little bit because this is – if you look at Elijah Barnes is committed in 25, right, one of the best in the country. Texas probably leading for Riley Pettishaw, one of the best in the country. Texas has two absolute stud daddies coming in from California for officials. Now, we'll see what happens. Notre Dame, Ohio State, there's competition. One's committed to USC. But if Texas pulled off a three-man linebacker class like this, that puts us going to put a little pressure on the young linebackers. And I'm not talking Ty Anthony Smith. By the way, he's getting a lot of rave reviews. It's just when is he going to get the armor on, as Rod Babers calls it. How long is that going to take? But I went to see Ty Anthony twice. That dude's a baller. He's an instinctive, one of those things we were talking about earlier in this chat, body quickness, reactive quickness. He has all that stuff. So where does that put pressure on some young guys? Could it put pressure on some young guys? Big off seasons and seasons for Darren Gillette, Tasilia Khanna, that group of linebackers Texas brought in. I'm not going to say Leonga LaFalle to that level, but those young linebackers, if this 2025 linebacker class comes together and all those guys sign with Texas and they're all going to be early enrollees, that's going to add immediate pressure to some of those younger second year going into third year linebackers at Texas, Bobby. That's a position I'm really looking for. We need to hear some positive things coming out from those backup backers.
Yep, I agree with that. All right, Woodcrest has a question for us. Question for the panel. Who do you think Kirby Smart sees as his biggest challenge for the foreseeable future in terms of head coach?
Great question.
I think it's Sarkisian. I really do, because I think Steve, I think Sark's got the program on a trajectory that could be challenging. And Texas is far enough away from Georgia, where Georgia can't influence every single recruitment that Texas is in. Particularly if they're going into in the state of Texas and California as much as they are.
So I think there's only two answers here. So Bobby gave the point on Sarkisian. I think it's Kalen DeBoer. The interesting thing for Kirby is he plays at both of them this year. So I think the thought for Georgia fans is, oh, Nick Saban's retiring. Woo! This is awesome. And all the SEC fans, this is great. Alabama dynasty's over. Man, look, remember how bad they were before they hired Nick? Well, then they go out and get Kalen DeBoer. I mean, who arguably could be the best coach in college football. If that's some big games this year for Kirby Smart. He plays at Bama and he plays at Texas. If there was ever a season where people could start to get at Georgia and Georgia fans would get a little nervous for being the top program in college football, what they ascended to and what's it going to look like in 2 or 3 years. If he dropped the game to DeBoer and Sark this year, then, you know, not that Georgia's dead and buried. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that changes the calculus a little bit. Because Alabama and Georgia go head-to-head on so many recruits, right, in neighboring up and in the Southeast region. If DeBoer beats him year one, that's going to make some Georgia fans a little nervous.
And it should. All right, we've got time for a few more questions as well as some other comments coming in from the chat. But before we go there, I want to mention BKCW. This show is brought to you by BKCW Insurance. Did you or your business have a frustrating insurance or employee benefits renewal? Most likely you didn't hear from your agent all year, and then right before it was time to renew, your agent delivered the bad news of a rate increase with absolutely no time to look for other options. When this happens, the agent is providing little to no value, and you're stuck in what we call the insurance trap. Operating out of its headquarters in Austin, owned by a UT grad, BKCW uses a five-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, and monitor your situation throughout the year so that you can lower your insurance costs and effectively manage your company's risk and employee benefits. BKCW has risk consultants that specialize in many different industries, from construction and transportation companies to nonprofits and school districts, so you'll get matched up with someone who knows your risk and can help you escape the insurance trap. Get started with a free risk assessment at bkcw.com or send an email to info@bkcw.com to get started and get the support you deserve. All right, Jerry, as we go back and talk a little bit more about this, I want to put this graphic up, if you don't mind. Matthew, yep. Our producer behind the scenes, created this for us. And I think it's kind of what is going on this weekend for the Longhorns. And that is the big recruiting weekend coming up. Longhorns have at least 6 June 7th visitors at this point. Caleb Edwards, tight end out of Oak Ridge in California. Myron Charles, defensive lineman out of Port Charlotte, Florida. Josiah Sharma, another Californian out of Folsom. Big defensive lineman. He and Charles both important recruits in this class. Caleb Chester, who you went and saw on Tuesday of this week down at Fort Bend Marshall. Long, tall quarterback, 6'2", 175. Javian Hilson, an edge prospect out of Cocoa, Florida, 6'4", 225, one of the top edge prospects in the country. Texas taking a flyer there, we think. And then Michael Terry, the quarterback out of San Antonio's Alamo Heights, who could be a running back. I mean, some people like him at running back. Some people like him at receiver. Some people like him at a tight end or a flex tight end, like Amari Niblack. Some people even like him as a linebacker or an edge. When you put the term athlete next to him, it is truly an athlete. Jerry, give us a hint or go back over some more news or notes that you want to hint or talk about to people prior to these official visits that begin later today.
Yeah, I'll bring up a question for me, Kim, because he always brings it out. Over under 0.5 commits. I'm going to go with over commit over on that number who commits to Sark privately, who announces probably under right now. But I do think Texas is going to be told yes. What does that mean when you're still taking visits? We talk about it all the time. We talk silent commitments. I mean, y'all know I drop the highs, and you never know, I might drop one. But, you know, these guys still have to become commitments publicly. You know, last year Texas had a couple in that class that did not. So let's talk Caleb Edwards, total wild card for me. He's been on campus in April. Good-looking kid physically, right? He's a kid that really burst onto the national recruiting radar about 3 months ago. He's been to UCLA. He has Oregon that last weekend. He has Texas. He goes to Auburn. He goes to Alabama after Texas. So it's a national recruitment out of Southern California there, El Dorado Hills. Myron Charles, look, He is one of the top D linemen in the country. Rankings be damned. He is. I've seen him in person. He has only got one direction to go, and that's ascend. When you're 6'3 and a half, 6'4, 290, and you have that quickness and you have that length and you have the hand size, he wants to, you know, just talking to the coaching staff there at Port Charlotte, the head coach, they don't have any doubts he wants to be a really, really good football player. So that physical development with a lot of these kids in Florida, the setup's just not there for them. It's not set up like it is in Texas or it is in Georgia or in Ohio. So these kids have a long runway physically in front of them, and Myron Charles fits that. He'll be 6'3 and a half, 6'4, 320 pounds, but with quickness and length and explosive ability and natural strength. But Florida State's considered the favorite, and that's just not the Florida State side. That's the people that are recruiting in Florida and Miami. All three of those teams think Florida State's the favorite headed into June. He was at Miami. I was at Florida last weekend. But I think when I was down there, I think Texas may be the biggest competition for Florida State. Jeff Banks and Kenny Baker involved in that recruitment. Obviously, Jeff Banks recruits that area. He was the one that went down there first, and him and Kenny Baker made the stop in May. So I think Texas is the one making the run at Florida State. They're going to have to make a big run this weekend. Myron visited in March, but that was just more him with 7-on-7 team. Now the circle comes with Myron Charles for that visit. It'll be a big one. Josiah Sharma, one-time Washington commitment. I've said before, how good is he? Kalen DeBoer takes the Alabama job, and he's still a top guy on his board. And how many D linemen are there in the state of Alabama, Georgia, Florida? They could be recruiting in the Southeast, and they still want Josiah Sharma. He reminds me of Sean Rogers, guys. I know Bobby kind of said, whoa, when I did that the first time, but I think he has that upside as a player. I think he has that same ability as Sean Rogers did. He's going to visit Oregon the 14th and Alabama 21st through 23rd. He lived in Arlington for a couple of years. He still has family in that area. The mom's originally from that Sacramento area, I believe, and definitely NorCal in that Oak Bay area. But could they move back to Texas? Possible. I've heard that a couple of times, even dating back into March. Does that mean he'd go to Texas? Not necessarily. I think Alabama's probably the favorite over Texas. Texas made up ground. Look, we talked about the importance of Johnny Nansen earlier in the show. This kid isn't on the radar without Johnny Nansen. Johnny Nansen's brought NorCal into the equation for Texas. That's when we talk about two decades of recruiting the state of California. Sark has, he has the SoCal, right? He's SoCal guy, modern day Bosco, where DeAndre Moore is, Brandon Baker, modern day. Go down that list. But that NorCal area, that was one that Johnny Nansen's bringing into play for Texas. Look at Javion Cole. Johnny Nansen was the guy that initiated the contact for Texas there. So Josiah Sharma, now it's Johnny Nansen and Kenny Baker. Now, PK, they all went to see him in May, but Texas has a little ground to make up there. Michael Terry, it's a total wild card recruitment because Nebraska's very much in it. They're telling him he can play wide receiver and he's going to get on the field as a freshman. Of course, if you're Nebraska, it's easier to tell him that than A&M or Texas and be real about that. But the conversations are going to be so big. You know, I think you'll see, you know, he wants to be recruited by receiver coaches, but with Texas, it's going to be more of a Sark, A.J. Milwee, a PK, probably not, but Chris Jackson. But it's still going to be sitting down. I think Texas is going to be very real with him. They've been very real with him. We think you're a tremendous athlete. We could see you playing four positions in the college level. Here's where we kind of think you could be best. I think that conversation will happen.
Jerry, look, guys his size typically don't pan out at receiver.
Right.
You know, DK Metcalf is panning out. The big guy, the other Ole Miss guy, A.J. Brown, is panning out. He looks more to me physically like he could eventually be a Larry Fitzgerald type, or maybe even a David Boston type if he were to go super, you know, bulky type thing. That is the question. Is he that type of athlete that he can still be a receiver at that size? I mean, he runs well enough. What does he run, a 10.7, 10.8, 100 meter?
Yeah, 10.7, 5, 10.8. Yeah, I mean, 218 pounds. So that's getting it. But the question is, you know, and this is the tough thing in recruiting for a Michael Terry and his family and for A&M and Texas. I think A&M likes him at outside rush backer. Okay. I think Texas likes him as a hybrid tight end long term, like Amari Nyblack or that rush outside backer. Obviously, people around them would say, dude, rush outside backer, that's where you want to be. Tight end doesn't have as much value. But here's the problem with that. People told Jatavion Sanders the same thing coming out of high school. If you want to be an offense, and dating back to Cedric Cormier, Bobby, Cedric Cormier, every college in America thought could be a first-round pick at cornerback. He didn't want to play defense. You can – we talked with Rod Babers about this. You can't make somebody a defensive player. They have to have it in here to be a defensive player. Have to have it here to start, but you have to have it in here to be a high-level defensive player. I don't care how long and fast you are. So if you want the ball in your hands and you want to be an offensive player, then you need to play offense. And then you have to find what's best for you. Is wide receiver realistic or is tight end realistic for me? Because, you know, Amari Nyblack moves like a wide receiver at tight end. Jatavion Sanders was the guy that said, hey, he could play edge, he could play tight end. Maybe it doesn't have as much value, but Jatavion Sanders is living out his dream right now of playing NFL football. And he's making a lot of money doing it. And I think Terry's a better athlete. I think Terry's on par with Nyblack athletically. And that's the thing that makes him a scary player at that position at the next level. I also wanted to hit Caleb Chester. I think Texas is in a pretty good spot for Caleb Chester, the corner out of Fort Bend Marshall. He's done a good job with his body. He was, I would say, skinny a year ago, 6 foot, 155, 157. He's now in the 172 range in that area, 6'1", got good length, really good man cover guy. I think that's a good evaluation by Texas. If you haven't seen the interview I did with him on Texas Football, go watch it. You'll be a bigger fan of Caleb Chester's upside. And I think it's why you've seen A&M take four DBs and they haven't backed off Caleb Chester. He has got a football film junkie mind to him. Those guys normally turn out to be really good players. So I think A&M's the competition. I think Arkansas's third there. So six official visitors this week. Javion Hilson, total wild card, never been on campus. He has interest in Texas. He's committed to Florida State. He's from Cocoa, Florida. Texas is bringing him in. Shots on goal, big game hunting, deep sea fishing, whatever you want to call it. You like it from Sark, but you just got to realize headed into this visit, Texas is the only out-of-state visit. He's committed to Florida State. That's a steep hill to climb, but credit to Sark, Kenny Baker, PK, all those guys for taking their shot. You never know what happens unless you get them on campus.
You can mix any metaphor you want with that one. Yep. How about that? Hey, Jerry, I tell you, we talked a lot about guys that are going to be in Austin this weekend. That's great. Yep. A lot of big-name guys outside of Austin that we're going to be monitoring. We don't have time to go over them now, but – suffice to say, recruiting is in full force.
I'm going to put up a story at ontexasfootball.com about some of the five visits that I think are impactful for Texas at other places this weekend.
Okay, good stuff. All right, make sure y'all check out ontexasfootball.com. That's on texasfootball.com. Right now we have a special going on. You could be an OTF OG for just $39.95 for 1 year. That's where you'll get all the news and information outside of these videos. If you're so inclined, also join us on the message boards. Jerry, myself, CJ Vogel, all on there each and every day talking Texas football. Again, please join us. Right now you get $20 off an annual subscription if you use the promo code OTFOG. All right, we'll be back at 1 o'clock today with a live stream. Jerry, any parting thoughts before we get going?
Nah, huge month. We've been waiting for this. Huge month for Steve Sarkisian. Look, I think there'll be 2021 commitments by, you know, late July. I'll be surprised if they aren't. And look, there's going to be – here's the thing I'll say about recruiting. There's going to be some guys that Texas doesn't maybe lead for now that they end up closing and winning out. And there may be two or three that you think are in the bag and don't end up at Texas. I mean, that's just kind of the way recruiting is, because this is when recruiting gets real. I think it's been fun for the kids. It can be exhausting, but it's been fun. But now it gets real because you're on campus. You know you're closer to the decision. You start to feel the pressure. All the kids you talk to in May, they start to feel the pressure of actually the fun part is behind them. Now it gets to the decision time. And more comes with that now than ever because of NIL, right? And there's more for the Texas staff to navigate, like with the ruling in Florida, Bobby. That's a new thing that high school players can make money off their name, image, and likeness as high school football players in Florida. So Texas staff has to navigate. You have to the thing is constantly changing right now, but it's a huge month for Steve Sarkisian in Texas. My prediction is Texas will have a fourth straight top five level class, whether that's ranked 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's too early to say that. My prediction is Texas will have a fourth straight top five level recruiting class.
Hey, I want to mention this to Booby King, Brooks King out of Port Arthur Memorial. We were talking about him, a 2027 defensive back, 2026 defensive back out of Port Arthur Memorial. He was offered by A&M after a camp. Texas offered him as well. He seems to be rising up the ranks.
No doubt.
In the 2026 class. All right. Thank you to Jerry Hamilton. Thank you to Brooke Blake Monroe, who had to go up to Nevada, Texas today to be with his son at a baseball tournament. Thanks also to our sponsor, BKCW, as well as Omaha Steaks. Guys, once again, tremendous year for the Texas women's softball team, finishing in second in the country. They did lose to OU last night, but I think they represented the university with class and very, very proud of what they were able to do. For Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. This has been Coffee and Football on Texas Football. Hook 'em.